Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to another episode of Overrated Everything. If you're new to the show, this is the podcast where we get a guest on each week to discuss a subject that they feel is overrated.
Yeah.
Sometimes we agree.
Sometimes we disagree. Yeah.
But we have quickly discovered that it is the podcast where your favourite actors, singers, celebrities, whatever, love to moan and we moan with them.
We all love a moan.
Love it.
We can't all love, love a moan. Yeah. And that's the beauty of this podcast. People come on, have a little bit of a moan and have some nice funny moments and everybody gets a nice little podcast.
Exactly. And if you do love what we do, you can sign up to our Patreon, which is www.patreon.com/overratedeverything. That just helps us secure better guests and just have an all-round neater podcast.
Yep. Yeah, should we put podcast on?
Enjoy.
Stick it on.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That night in Liverpool, I just want to talk about that really quickly.
Where we met.
Well, can you remember?
Can I just give a little bit of backstory first? So I messed, because obviously I got hold of you through our mutual friend Briggsy, who's been on the podcast. And I asked you to come on. And then I messaged Tomo saying, oh, we've got Adam Rowe like buzzing. And he was like, oh shit. So I was like, what? He went, I think I might have told him to fuck off in Liverpool once. Yeah.
So basically,
I woke up and was like, do you remember? I got told by my mate, he was like, do you remember meeting Sean last night? And I went, who's Sean? He went, Sean from This Is England. And I went, Thomas Tergoose. And he went, yeah, he was in Teddy's. And I was like, yeah, I think I do that. But I was twatted.
Yeah.
And then you know when it slowly comes back to you because someone said something to you? And I think someone said to me, the lad from This Is England's in here, he's over there, like, having a drink. Go and say hello. And I was just drunk. And yeah. Apparently came over. And I just remember you, like, shaking me hand. And then that's all I really remember. And then leaving. But then you messaged me going, me mates have told me. I was like, gobshite to you.
Well, I think one of my mates, Joe, is like, because I know for a fact that I wouldn't tell anyone to fuck off on a night out unless they gave me reason to. And you would obviously never do that. And so I woke up in Liverpool. I was on a stag do, and I woke up on a Sunday morning. And I remember, like, stinking hungover. Like, you know when you fucking, like, your mouth tastes like you've been eating sand. And my mate Joe came in the room and he went, "Goose, can you remember what you did last night?" And I was like, "No, why, what?" And he went, "You know Adam Rowe?" And I went, the comedian, the podcast, yeah. He went, "You told him to fuck off last night." And I was like, "What?" I said, "I think I'd remember if I met him. And I think I'd definitely remember if I told him to fuck off." And he went, "No, honestly, mate, you did. Like, I wouldn't lie about it." And I thought, fucking hell. So then I went straight on my phone and I messaged you saying, "Did I meet you last night?" And you was kind of a bit like, "Oh, I'm not sure, maybe, da 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 da." And I was like, "Did I tell you to fuck off?" And he was like, "No, I don't think so." And I was like, so when he said he was coming on, I thought, oh, fucking hell.
But no, I don't think that's what happened. I think...
But it's the greatest prank of all time. But like, my mate Joe stitched me up big time. Oh, yeah, it's just
hangover anxiety, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And
that's fucking...
You're never going to remember every... That bar that we were in is called Teddy's. And that's like my late night. Like, if I'm out till 3-4 in the morning, I'll be in there because it's the last place open. It's decent.
See, I couldn't even tell you anything about it. I don't know where it was. Is it quite an indie bar? Is it like...
It's sort of a bit indie, grungy, American pie playlist. Yeah. So there's an upstairs bar, but then the downstairs is like...
Like caves.
Yeah.
I can vaguely remember it. I can vaguely remember being in a bar and it was like... Sort of
some guy there
music.
And you went, "Fuck off, man. Do you know who I am?"
Yeah, I can vaguely remember being in a place like that, but you know what it's like on a stag do, innit? It's like... Yeah. Yeah, you just sort of, all hell breaks loose. But yeah, when he told me that, and I was like, no. I wouldn't tell anyone to fuck off. But yeah, well, anyway, it's good to have you here, mate.
Yeah, thanks for coming in after the...
And I don't think that happened, but you know.
I don't think that
But
happened.
I don't know either, so yeah. I can't truly lay your fears to rest.
Yeah. It's like you have slept together and both of you woke up the next morning like, did we do it? Yeah. I mean, I woke up next to him, but like, did it go in?
Woke up for Johnny hanging out my ass. Yeah, no, buzzing your ear, mate. I know when Andy said you was coming on, I was buzzing about it, obviously, as soon as you addressed the elephant in the room. But, how's life for you, mate? You're mad busy, aren't you, at the minute? You're just saying that you've...
Yeah, been... I've just come back from a little trip away, which wasn't a break. It was a city break.
So it wasn't
It's
a
break, holiday. But it's not a holiday, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Went to Brussels, which I, 10 out of 10, would not recommend.
All right.
There's fucking nothing to do. And it's the worst food I've ever seen in my life.
Is it? German food. Is it Germany? Brussels?
No,
Brussels?
It's Belgium.
Belgium. Yeah.
All
yeah.
they do is chips and waffles.
Really?
When I say waffles, I mean like the sweet one.
All right.
So every shop is
Belgian
like...
waffles.
One's some chips, and then the other one's waffle. And then it's like, you got any food business? Like, no.
Is it not even a McDonald's there? Because that's always a safe option when you're on holiday.
Yeah, but like, when I go abroad, I feel like I'm not being cultured if I go somewhere like that. I'm trying to try the local stuff. Like, I drank nothing but Belgian beers for a few days. Talking about stuff that's overrated.
Go on.
Belgian beers.
I was going to say, what
people pretend to like them.
Yeah.
No one likes Belgian beers. They just want to look dead hard because they're like, oh, it's 12% and I love it. It's my favourite one.
I think the same with most like beers. I think people are just like, they get a bit arsey about it. Like, oh, you're drinking, you know, Madrid, the Spanish Carlin. Or, do you know what I mean?
Madrid's great.
Yeah, I think it's
great. I've got to be honest with you. Yeah, I am an alcohol snob.
Oh, really?
Well, I was just going to say, but like, because I've like, I don't really drink much lager anymore. I've moved on to, like, bitter and stuff like that. Just
I'm Guinness,
old man.
If I can get it.
Oh, right, nice,
a good Guinness.
But then, to me, like, there is a certain, like, you know, Carlin is a cooking lager and should never be drank.
Carlin, I don't mind it.
Carlsberg. Carlsberg. One of them, anyway. No, it is Carlin, yeah, the black and white tin.
Yeah.
But I just think all lager...
No beer is good out of a tin.
No. Apart from a stubby.
Oh, yeah, the little bottles. Oh, the little
can of, like, Heineken.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Is
nicer.
But a big, like Foster's or Carlin can,
nah.
Just reminds me of being like festival. 12.
Oh, yeah, it reminds me, yeah. Also reminds me of being at a festival, you know, when you've got like a crate of like 24 cans of Carlin or Foster's and have been sat in your tent sweating all weekend. And
you know, get the only Sunday time I've ever been to a festival was Leeds Festival last year.
Did you go...
As a 30-year-old.
Was you working or was you...
No, I went to the Arctic Monkeys.
Oh, did you?
But I just felt like an absolute paedophile.
Yeah.
It was just children walking around with no clothes on. You're
allowed to be around them.
You could be in... Or can you? Yeah. We don't know. We don't know your backstory. We don't do much research on guests.
It was just...
It's gross, isn't it?
And also, I left it too long in my life to have my first festival experience. And I just got there and I was like... I was too old to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, we do Kendall Calling, don't we? We DJ then. We've been doing it.
I've done a set there.
It's decent, and we've been doing it for the last sort of six years on and off.
Yeah, something like that.
Obviously,
yeah.
COVID in the middle of that. So, like, the last time we went pre-COVID, say 2019, it was nice. We felt, oh, this is great. This is our scene. And then we were just saying off mic then that kind of 2 years that COVID took off you. I remember going back last year when it was on 2022.
Didn't we leave
it? I literally felt old. And I don't know whether that's because the crowd had changed there or we just, like you say, lost two years of our life. And then you're walking around and there's like, you know, girls with next to nothing on, lads with like bucket hats and shit like that. And you're like, fucking hell, man. Like,
yeah.
It's not that kind of festival.
Have a bucket hat for Leeds.
Did you?
That's so annoying.
I yellow was the bills off. Yeah. It wasn't even a bucket hat, it was a boonie.
What's a boonie?
It's like an Australian one. It's like got a big rim.
Nice.
Like the, you know, the string that comes under.
Yeah.
That's a boonie.
Sunglasses as well, a lot of it.
Yeah. Sunglasses, boonie, and a Liverpool away kit from 1994.
Nice, mate. Nice. I mean, I reckon you would have had a better experience had you picked a better festival, though. Leeds Fest is the grungiest I've done, because I DJed Leeds and Reading, and we played Leeds on a Friday, I think, and then we got there and it was minging. Because obviously people have been here since Wednesday or whatever.
Yeah.
Leeds used to always be the kind of rocky, moshery kind of festival.
Yeah, it was like, and it stunk.
There was a lot of that, and I'm not into that either.
Yeah.
I had a terrible day until the Arctic Monkeys started, and then I was sort of too drunk
to enjoy
the Arctic Monkeys properly, because I was like,
did you manage to blag some wristbands for the VIP bit, or did you go as a regular guy,
nice. Just, you know, man of the people.
I get that, but it's nice to have them wristbands where you can go and just have a clean shit. That's the difference.
I love that, yeah.
I've got
IBS, undiagnosed, but I mean,
it's a
short conversation with a doctor.
but it's nice to have that and to be able to get not queue up for 40 minutes for a flat pint, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's nice to have that little option in it, but...
you little pamper.
Mate, I don't care, admitting it. Like, since we went to Kendall the first year and they put us in one of those yurts, we had beds and we've got showers and we've got like a transfer bus that takes you to the arena, so there's no walking. Like, I don't mind saying it, like, that I'm spoiled by that. Now, if I went to a festival as a reggae, I don't think I'd like it. I'd hate it.
I totally get it.
Did you camp?
No, we just went for the day.
Oh, you went for the day.
Yeah.
Like,
camping.
I'm so on board with you. I know he's sort of sounding like a Tory here.
He is.
And I get it.
It's not even the most Tory thing I've said today.
I know, but I'm the same now. Like, I am working class, socialist ideals will always vote left. But I'm exactly the same.
Once you have
a little taste of like these people who are like, oh, no, you've got to camp, it's part of the experience. No, it isn't. No, I don't have to stink for 3 days. I'd rather be the best smelling person in the field.
Yeah.
Who's had a shower, me undies are clean, my pint's got a head on it. Why have I got to have all the shit bit? Just
anyone
because
who says that different, they've never been offered it. That's
I think that's the thing, innit? I think it's with them unnecessary shit thing. Like, camping at a festival, it is unnecessary, innit, really? Like, you could get an hotel nearby or you could do whatever, but everyone does that. Oh, it's a festival, because I'm the same as you. Like, yeah, I do. I wouldn't go and camp at a festival now because I've had that niceness. Yeah. Same with, like, with going back to the DJing thing, nightclubs and shit like that. Walk past a nightclub queue and you're like, I'm not fucking getting in that.
No,
I'm not getting in that.
You've got to wait at the bar to get a pint, but they don't bring you bottles of vodka. Like, this is weird. But like, the DJing did ruin nights out for us, because you say, like, you're queuing for ages to get in. And then, like, when we're DJing, like, it'll be the same for you when you're doing your stand-up. You've got a green room and you get whatever you want and you spoil. And then you can it's like you own the club. It's fucking mint.
It's so, any sort of luxury you're given in life, it's hard to go.
Yeah.
Have you ever flown, like, business class?
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, it is so hard to get on a plane ever again.
Yeah.
And not. So the first time I flew it was last January going to New York. And that was with Aer Lingus.
Yeah.
And that's not quite what you imagine business class to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we've all seen films where the guy's got a bed and...
Yeah, yeah.
Aer Lingus business class, you know, it's the guy will smile at you slightly more often than he likes to, and that's pretty much as good as it gets. But then when I went to Dubai to do a show last year... It was Emirates on the way back, and the upgrade was like £200 on the way home. So I said to the comedy club, so that I don't pay for it, could you just knock 200 quid off the fee and get me that upgrade? Primarily because I knew Emirates showed Premier League football on the flight in business class.
Oh, nice.
And Liverpool were playing Fulham. Yeah, the start
game.
Of the season.
Big game.
Well, it was the start of the season when I was full of hope. No, I think we drew.
Did you drew? Ah, right, okay.
I think it was 1-1. I think, I can't remember. Terrible season, trying to forget it all. It's very hard. Like, I flew back from Hungary the other day from Budapest, Ryanair. And
sat like this.
It's just, like, once you've had a taste of, like, what it is like beyond that curtain,
yeah.
Like, where they're just, they've got a bed, like, and a telly, and they just go, you can just, and a gin and tonic appears, like, within seconds, and you don't get fucking charged for it, and, the food comes round, but if you want a bit extra, you can just be like, can I just have more food? And he's like, of course you can, you're in business class, you're really important. If anyone at the back's like, could I have a biscuit? Like, you can fucking wait half an hour. And going back to that and being treated like that after you've had any taste of it is nigh on impossible.
I'm going
to New York next week, and I'm flying with Virgin from Manchester.
Yeah.
On the way out, I'm flying in the afternoon, and the upgrade was like 350 quid.
It's not random,
isn't it? I was just like, I've got to do it. On the way back, the exact same company, but it's because it's flying at night, the upgrade was $4,500.
So wow.
I was like, I'm not doing that. Because that is just unjustifiable. I haven't got that sort of money. But for 350 quid, spread that across.
And that feels like a bargain then, when it's when you know it's $4,000, you go, I'm gonna pay for it.
Do you know what it is? It's because we're flying out in the day, no one's asked about having a bed.
Yeah.
Flying back up at night, at like 10 o'clock at night, everyone's like, oh, I can kip on the plane. So that's why they put it up. But it's not worth that. Like, it's not that good.
The last time I was, I had a business class flight booked, and it was to go to New York to do some work. And I remember, I had my ticket in my hand, and I remember walking up to the check-in desk past a massive queue of, like, economy. And I remember just thinking, months. And then I got to the front.
From Grimsby must have fucking disowned you long ago.
Well, I know it backfired big time. So I remember getting to the front of the queue, and I was like, hi, can I check in for my flight? And she went, yeah, what's your name? Blah, da, da, da. And she went, oh, your Esther has been denied. You're not allowed to fly. And I was like, what do you mean? And she said that one of the questions I'd... So, you know, the yes, no answers. Like, are you involved in this? No, of course not. No.
You'd said
so
you were on... Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Well, it wasn't as bad as that. But I thought the down arrow key on my laptop... Cause this is why I'm a technophobe. I just can't do it. I thought the down arrow key on my laptop would have taken me down to more questions. But it was knocking it from yes to no, which I didn't see.
Yeah.
So I'm going down and I was like, oh, it's not taking me down. I'll just take the mouse down. 50-50 chance. Landed on yes. And apparently, according to them, I'd overstayed a visa in the States before, so I wasn't allowed to fly into New York. And I remember walking, so I had to get in a hotel at Heathrow, and I remember the director rang me, and he was like, where are you? You're in New York. And I was like,
no,
mate, I'm in the bath in Heathrow crying, because they wouldn't let me on the plane. Missed out on the job. Fucking hate America. Don't want to go over again.
Whoa.
Business class is for knobheads. But yeah, man, that whole experience of it, it's just a bit wild, isn't it? Yeah.
It's that line from that James song, Sit Down, if I hadn't seen such riches, I could live with being poor. I've lived with fuck all.
Same, mate.
Grew up with truly fuck all. Yeah. And... once you've had a little bit of stuff, it's very hard to...
It is, but it makes you want to work harder.
Yeah. Totally. Don't get me wrong, as lucky as I am, I do acknowledge that I work me absolute bollocks off for everything that has managed to come my way. I'm very proud of the work I've put in, but it is very difficult to ever go back once you've...
Yeah. And you can see why, I mean, you know, you hear these stories, don't you, about, you know, celebrities being arseholes and stuff like that. Because of that, sometimes you can go, well, yeah, you know, if you're like friggin', I don't know, Leonardo DiCaprio or someone, you're going to be surrounded by that life, by people who never say no to you. So you quickly kind of get used to it. Like, we always talk about it, don't we? Like, being on a set, you know, like my first day on a set, you kind of like, people be like, oh, do you want a coffee and that? And you're like, oh, I'll grab it. Yeah, it sounds, you know. And then the next day, like, no, I'll get it for you. And you're like, oh, go on then, because I've got to do this and I've got to do that.
Yeah.
And then, like, day four, you're like, where's my fucking car? Like, and it's not even, but then you can imagine these people who are like, are we not getting fucking Starbucks? Do you know what I mean? You can see that gradual kind of build from, like, I'll get my coffee to, like, I want Starbucks now.
I still struggle with that a little bit sometimes. And my first proper TV job where we did like an extended run, there's a comic called Tez Ilyas, and he got the Tez O'Clock Show, which was like a new format for Channel 4. And I was one of the regular guests on it every week. And there's this lad coming in, can I get you a coffee? I was like, no, I'm all right, lad. And then like 5 minutes later, I made myself a coffee. And he's like, oh, I'll make it. I was like, lad, I can.
Yeah, I can
pour that. Like, I'll do literally that. Someone come over to me who like works for the production company and was like, let him make you the coffee, because if the production manager sees you making your own coffee,
the baller
sees him doing nothing,
yeah,
he gets in trouble because that's his job.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And I was like, I don't want to fucking work, and that's where I can't pour my own coffee and someone's going to get in trouble if I make myself.
I know.
I like me coffee.
Yeah, that's like it, right? Yeah.
Like, you've got to put the hot water onto the tea bag, squeeze the tea bag 3 times, swirl it round a bit, take the tea bag out, then put the milk in. What if he doesn't do it like that?
Well, that's a fucking weird coffee if you've got tea bag, right? For one. Also, like, I wouldn't want to make that coffee.
We're also like, when someone says, oh, can I get you a cup of tea? And you go, oh, no, I'm all right. I have nothing on. I can go do it. And then I go, oh, can I get you a coffee? And they're like, whoa, no. Like, if someone, like you said, if a producer, the exec producer see... the talent, as it were.
Yeah.
I'm doing in quotations for anyone who's not watching. making, like, I don't know, someone who's like the floor runner a coffee. Jesus, yeah, that looked awful to them, wouldn't it? Do you know what I mean? But that's just in our nature to be like, oh, I'll make it.
Yeah.
I can make you one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's it. We were talking about this the other day, weren't we? Like that feeling, like you say, of like growing up with like next to fuck all and coming from like the kind of places that we come from. Like you say, it's hard. And like we were talking about, like, remember years ago I got invited over to Adidas and they said, oh, do you want some gear? So I was like, fucking yeah, of course I want some gear, do you know what I mean? Went in their offices in London and they opened up this door and it's just a fucking warehouse and the guy went, take what you want, and I had to literally go, mate, I'm a lad from a council estate in Manchester. You can't give me a limit because you're saying take what you want. I'll be getting shit that don't fit me because I know I'll be able to sell it.
I'll have one of the lads from the estate down in a van. I'll be sat here for 4 hours. I'll be here long after you've gone home, loading up truck after truck.
He was like, right, okay, 3 or 4 bags. And I was like, is it 3 or is it 4 bags though? Like, don't, like, just give me a fucking set amount, man.
I get blown away now because, like, I'll get people messaging me on Instagram, like brands and stuff, going, can we just send you some clothes and just tag us in a story or whatever? And I'm always like, yeah, great. And they're like, just go on the website and tell us what you want. And I'm like, just send us what you want me to wear.
And they're like,
just go and pick what you want. So I'm like, I will literally... I'm an XL top, medium bottom, because I'm shaped like a fucking toffee apple. And any jackets, I can go a little bit smaller than them, so we'll have a large in them. Shoes, I'm a size 8 UK. You send me whatever you want. No, go and pick whatever you want. I'll have the whole website.
Send me everything.
Any free clothes, I'll wear it. Even if it looks shit on me, I'll put it on and tag you in the story.
Yeah, exactly.
No problem whatsoever.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? Like, that's probably any... Deep down, I'm thinking, right, well, I want to get rid of my social media because I spend too much time on it.
Yeah.
But deep down, the only reason that I won't get rid of it is because of the free shit that I get sent off it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God, no, I'll just keep it just for that then, yeah.
I'm totally addicted to it. I'm so bad for...
Yeah.
And I need it for work, obviously. It's a big time, as being a comic and, like, the podcast and stuff, like, having to promote everything all the time, you do need it, but...
Yeah,
I'm so bad sometimes for just being on Twitter and reading the same 10 tweets I read an hour ago and still scrolling. I'm like, I know I've already seen everything below this.
Yeah.
Do you do that thing where you, like, I'll scroll my Instagram, go off that, scroll my Twitter, and then scroll my Facebook, lock my phone, straight away, straight back on it, and do it again. And I'm like, you've literally, less than 10 seconds ago, done that. Like, what are you doing?
It's ridiculous. My screen time sometimes is like 11 hours.
11 hours?
Okay, now.
Because I'll just wake up and, like, I'm... Sometimes, like, the screen time is, like, if it's open, so sometimes, like, I'm just, like, I'm talking to me missus or me mate, and I'm like, yeah, TikTok's there,
TikTok's there,
like, I'm just waiting, finish what you're saying, I'm not interested whatsoever, wow, fucking love it.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I find myself, like, I'll put, like, a stand-up special on Netflix, like, a comic that I love is, like, drops a new special, and I'll put it on, and then I go on TikTok, and I'm watching someone else do stand-up, while my favourite comic is on the telly doing stand-up.
Yeah, it's so
just
weird.
Just because it's from my phone, it's like it's a different hit of endorphins.
Your vision is just... We were talking about Phoenix Nights yesterday, me and Andy, and I sat there and I watched what I thought was the whole 2 series.
Yeah.
And Andy said, oh, can you remember this bit? And I was like, no. Like, he watched it last week, but I thought in my head I'd watched it all, but That must have been, that whole bit must have been when I was on my phone, just not paying any attention whatsoever. And it's like, why do we put things on TV when we just sit on our phone anyway?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, just going on overrated subjects, I think someone has had social media on as an overrated subject, haven't they? But that, for me, is just like, A, it's overrated because it's boring, and B, it's like, it's not fucking good for us, is it? Like,
no. And we don't know how bad it is, yeah?
No.
Because it's not been around long enough to have any proper data. Like, people are going to be fucked mentally in 20 years because of social media.
Oh, 100%.
Like, it's a full-on addiction. It's an addiction.
It's exactly the same as drugs. It's exactly the same. Like, here's the thing. Like, TikTok's the worst for it. TikTok's ability to find what you like and show you nothing but crazy. That is so insane. And it's literally like, oh, there's the thing. I like. It's like having a line or a hit of weed or, like, even a drink, if that's your thing. It's that first little, oh. That, oh, I like that. Oh, yeah, and there's 20 seconds gone, and the next one. Oh, I like that. Don't like that one. Don't like. Oh, like it's just constant little endorphin hits and serotonin rushes. What is that doing to
us? And like you said, like it's the algorithm. So if you say if you watch a video of like Liverpool for the whole video, that'll then go on your algorithm, and then it'll show you more about football, and then all of a sudden you'll have videos of the night in Istanbul, and that, and then that's why they get you there. And like mine's just constantly just golf, really. It's just because that's what I enjoy watching. And but then you just, like you said, you can sit on it for fucking hours.
Mine's a lot of women who've got like spicy accountants in their bio.
Yeah, mine's got all that as well, but I'm married. I just do want to
say I'm in a very loving relationship, but mine is a lot of women going, if you had 24 hours with me and I couldn't say no, what are we going to do? And then I scroll past Istanbul and beating United 7-0. It's another, why aren't you in uniform? Big pair of tits.
I love that. Because I know exactly what you're on about.
Of course you do. Full of shit. Mine's all gold. Is it, lad, yeah? Is it fucking really?
Do you know what?
You're skipping past fucking Instagram models to watch Tiger Woods. Fucking bollocks, mate.
Do you know what? It got to the point where, like,
I don't know who this is. I'm not answering the phone. Right. Let me just show you something. If I go onto my Instagram, and I'm sorry that the people at home can't see this, right? If I go onto my Instagram, just watch this. Just watch if I just click that.
Look at it. As always. Look at it.
Cause and that's not my fault.
That's
an algorithm. It's not my fault that my Instagram is full of women half naked.
Because of course,
if you show men, women, and like, do you like? I'm not liking pictures. I'm not that guy. I'm not liking them. I'm not commenting. I'm not DMing them. But Instagram has figured out that if I am scrolling on my phone,
I stop at that one,
and I go, oh, that is fantastic. Swipe through. All six of her pictures, do absolutely nothing about it, and then I keep scrolling, and then I get to the next one. And Instagram has figured it out, and look at her. Wonderful. What a lovely looking lady. She's got her ass out. The next one there is just her face, but with a filter on.
Get rid of that one.
There we go. Two girls who, I bet you, she's got less than 2,000 followers, and she has been suggested for me because Instagram has figured out this is who I am, and I refuse to accept it.
Have you seen now though as well? Like, because I noticed this the other day on I think it was like Facebook Marketplace, and that people have clocked onto that now. And so this picture came up the other day, and it was like it was this woman, and she was like, you know, scantily dressed or whatever.
She was what?
But like she you know, she had like the tight leggings on and like a boot kind of thing.
You didn't just say, oh, she was naked. Yeah,
but it was someone trying to sell a couch. When you clicked it, it was like, because she was stood in front of the couch. So it's obviously someone's done that to go, people will stop on this.
Are you sure this wasn't like a human trafficking thing that you're going to?
It could have been.
We're selling a couch.
Yeah, they're selling a couch.
She's very nice, isn't she?
Casting couch.
But yeah, like, obviously people have clocked onto that and gone, right, okay, I need to shift a few fucking settees.
Look, get that nice top on, look.
Yeah, yeah. And that's like a marketing strategy now, because they know most blokes, a lot of ladies will as well, stop on it and give it a look, and then there's a couch there for sale, so some people go,
sex sells everything. It sells aftershave and perfume, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, sex sells, man.
There's like a Dior advert. It's fucking David Gandy or someone else, and it's just, look how fit he is. Imagine how good this smells.
Yeah.
Because they can't tell you what it smells like.
No.
They can't just do an advert where it's like, it's got vanilla, lavender, and peaches in. I mean, that'd be a terrible aftershave. But they don't do that, do they? They just go, Isn't he gorgeous? And look, Charlize Theron thinks he's fit as well.
And that's
so maybe she'll think like. You're fit if you buy our aftershave.
Well, that's literally it, isn't it?
It's like that, well, advertising is obviously sex sells, but then good advertising isn't advertising you the product. It's advertising you the life you could have if you just owned this product. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you don't go and buy a car for, it's like, you know, oh, look who drives that car. Look who, you know what I mean? Look who, James Bond drives an Aston Martin. That's cool. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But that's just the way that it is. Like, the whole social media thing is like, I'm scared to open my TikTok in public. Like, if I'm on the train, I probably wouldn't open my TikTok because I'm like, sometimes Instagram as well, because I like that suggested posting or that or is it post you may like that it keeps doing. Like, I don't want to open it on the train because I don't want people to sat near me thinking that I'm a pervert.
Yeah, but theirs, I mean? Theirs is probably the same, I bet, like you said.
Well, it's just, I think it's just poisoning our minds, isn't it, really? Mm. But I remember when I was a kid, I must have been about 14, 15, I remember getting the train to London on my own. But I used to go into the little magazine shop at the train station and buy, like, the Nuts magazine.
I remember
reading Nuts and Zoo and all that. Like, essentially, like, soft porn on the train. Like, it's just mad how that's...
Not us, just like someone reading Take a Break.
Do you know what I mean?
I used
for
to buy...
For the pub ammo, it's for the pub ammo.
I used to buy both of them every week.
Yeah.
And what I used to do, right, because me mum and dad didn't know, I was using my, like, school dinner money to buy it. I used to pull my bottom drawer out of my bedside table, put them under the bottom drawer, put the drawer back.
Mm.
And one day I came home from school and my mum and dad had done like a deep clean of the house.
Oh no.
And my bedroom, and like they'd switched around, put my bed in a different place, put everything, so they'd moved everything. And I was just like, that's gone. And my dad tried to have a little chat with me. We used to have a table tennis table in the back garden, we're just having a game of table tennis. Daddy's like, so, who's been buying you those magazines? And I was like, hey, I've been buying them myself, actually. You allowed them. Like, you don't have to get an adult to get those ones. They're not off the top shelf.
So years ago, me mate, he's just sat off camera over here, we found his brother's stash of, let's say, not Nuts and Zoo, the higher level ones. We were about 15, 16. And he gave me one. He was like, oh, take that, you can have that. Like, my brother will never know, whatever. And, like, I had it hidden under, like, my mattress for, like, years and forgot about it. Like, that was, we were about 14, 15. And then probably I was about 17. Like I said, it'd been under there for years. And I just got a call off my mum. And she just answered the call. She went, you dirty little bastard. And I was like, what? What are you on about? She went, you dirty little bastard. And I was like, what are you going on about? She went, I've just been tidying your room. So I was like, right, thinking I'm 17. It's probably a shit tip. And she was like, I did your bed. And it just dawned on me. I was like, oh, shit. Oh. She went, yeah, I flipped up your mattress. And I found your stats. Oh, my God. Like, oh, no.
How mad is it that it was all magazines back then? And now
that's something like, kids will never... kids
access
never,
to everything at your fingertips.
Can you imagine
you?
Trying to wank now to a magazine? It's a still image of a woman just like, got tits, haven't I? It's like, I need to see something awful happening to you to even get on. Like, we're not even... close to getting me ready here, love. That is nowhere near enough. Like, there's nowhere near enough people in this picture.
You've got a pyro pen right on the darkest things ever. Yeah, that's mental. All things have changed. But
do you know what's going to be really hard now?
Going to talk.
Sidestepping to fucking sushi from that.
Yeah, yeah,
how did we get there?
We're going to talk a bit about Adam's overrated subject, like you said, obviously before, but yeah, now to go and talk about sushi. But I mean, I agree with the sushi thing. I mean, it's not just sushi; it's like a lot of foods I think are overrated. But I mean, sushi for me is one of them.
Okay, so what are the other ones?
What are overrated foods?
I think food's unbelievable. Yeah. I just think sushi is just. I think there was some fella in Japan. And one day, he just was fucking lazy and couldn't be arsed cooking some salmon. And thought, I wonder if I just
ate it.
Just ate it. And then someone caught, like, he's hungover to fuck, right? He's having a shit day. And he's just there, just chewing on a salmon.
Yeah.
And someone's been like, fucking hell, John, what the fuck are you doing here, lad? Like,
common name in Japan, John.
Yeah, I know. Like, so... What's going on here? And he's like, oh, have you never done this before? He's trying to like get out of it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's fucking gaslighted someone into thinking it's a normal thing, and that has invented an entire cuisine that everyone has fell for.
Yeah.
Why are we not cooking it? Yeah. Why?
Yeah, it is a strange one, isn't it? I mean, I don't mind a bit of sushi. I have to be careful because I'm allergic to prawns and stuff, but like I don't mind it. It's not my go-to.
I love seafood.
Yeah, I love seafood. I was brought up on like a lot of seafood. I love cockles, which essentially I guess is raw fish.
Well, I'd say seafood is overrated.
Really?
I'm from Grimsby. But like fish and chips, I know it comes out of the sea, haddock. But yeah, I don't know, I wouldn't class it as seafood.
No, that's not seafood.
No, it's not.
Well, that's
fish
okay.
and chips isn't seafood.
All right, cool. Well, seafood's overrated then, to me. Okay. I don't get it. Like, you say with...
Do you know what? I love seafood, but I would agree that it's overrated. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, like, I like it. I guess it's...
But like this idea that it's like the most decadent, like, fancy... Oh, I'm going to a seafood restaurant because I'm cultured and very important. But
yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah,
it's like prawns, lads.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I like seafood a lot, but I do think it's overrated as well.
What's that really nice seafood restaurant? It's like a chain of them, but they're like quite upmarket.
Harry Ramsden's.
Lock Fine.
Yeah, I remember going there. Steve took us there,
yeah.
And it was one of them. It was like, you will love it. You know, it's dead. And we went, and I was like, yeah, you know, it's
Stevie
nice.
Graham's changed.
It's fish.
He's changed.
Has he?
Yeah, he's awful now.
Scouse Root's gone.
Loves fine dining. He can't get enough of it.
I love fine dining, though.
Do you?
I do, yeah.
That was Stephen Graham's overrated subject.
Was it?
Yeah, but every restaurant that I've been to with Stephen has been, like, top-notch.
The best restaurant I've ever been to is called The Kitchen.
The
head chef is Tom Kitchen.
Right.
Like, that's a name like that.
Yeah,
he had to go into that field.
Yeah.
It's in Edinburgh.
Do you reckon it was christened Tom Kitchen, or do you reckon it...
No, I think it is because his name is Kichin. So it's not like...
Yeah, okay.
And it's called the... Like, the restaurant is called The Kitchen, like his surname. And if you have Michelin star food, it's going back to, like, business class. It makes you feel like you've never actually had food before.
Yeah.
Really?
And then everything else is just different. Like,
it's just a tiny little dish, the portions, though.
Yeah, but when you've got 11 of them... Like, you get quite full.
Quoting Stevie Graham, when he said, him and Hannah went for this top-notch thing. You know where the people who compliment the wine is sommelier. Sommelier?
Yeah.
So he had one of those, and it was all top-class. And he said he walked out of the restaurant, and he got to Leicester Square, and he said he looked at Hannah, his wife, and just said, I'm starving. Like, he's had this meal, but he's still starving.
I've never had that with a fine dining. I've always got to the end and been like, I've had enough there.
Yeah.
The River Cafe in Brooklyn, New York, I went there as well. That's a la carte. That's not... It's still fine dining, still Michelin starred, but it's not a tasting menu. It's not like 11 courses. Mm. It was starter, main dessert, and it was outrageous.
I don't think I've ever had fine dining as such.
Like with the 11 courses kind of thing.
No, I don't think so.
If you're ever in Edinburgh, go to the kitchen. It's expensive. It's really expensive.
Well, how much is it costing you for a meal in there?
I took my ex-girlfriend there, and I think the bill was like 650 quid.
Wow.
I think that was 8 courses each.
That's not really sick.
Huh? That's
to upgrade that,
sick, man. Jesus.
Do you know what it was?
650
it was,
quid.
We were in Edinburgh for an ex-girlfriend's birthday, and she really wants to go to this place, and I was like, okay, how about this? I won't get you a main present.
She paid?
No, I did.
I was going to say, is that the reason you're not together anymore? Because she didn't
The reason we're not together anymore is revealed in my new special, Juicy. allegedly. I was there with an ex-girlfriend, and I just, for her birthday, was like, I'll get the meal because it's very expensive.
Was it worth it?
Yeah.
Really?
It's the best food I've ever had anywhere.
But what did you have? What was you drinking? Was it like...
So it was during COVID where you couldn't drink in Scotland indoors, even with a meal.
Oh, really? I didn't know
so
that.
So we just had soft drinks, and then they had a little terrace where we could have a drink afterwards. It was the rules during COVID were so fucking stupid.
Yeah, you can drink outside, but you can't drink inside. But that's a strange one. I didn't know that was.
But I remember sitting outside in the fucking pissing rain and the sideways wind, just because it was in a pub and eating like pub grub and having a pint.
Just
because it was like.
There was nightclubs open in Liverpool, but they had to give you a pizza.
Yeah.
Around and nightclubs holding a fucking slice.
Well, that's
pizza
quite that's quite an old thing because I listened to a podcast called the Blind Boy Podcast. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's an Irish sort of musician and now podcaster, and he was talking about that, about like in Ireland when nightclubs first became a thing, there was a law in place where you had to serve food, you had to eat food as well. So your ticket got you in the nightclub and it got you like. chips. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So at one point, at say 2 a.m, why? Everyone would have, because like it was one of them things where it was like, we can't just have people drinking till like 4 a.m, because obviously if they've had the dinner at 5 and then they're just drinking, they're going to be like really, really drunk. So you have to give them some kind of food. So maybe it was a throwback to that where it was like, right, well, no, it was we have to give people
during
food.
COVID, it was just, you have to, so they didn't want people getting drunk inside. So it was like, you can drink with a meal. So then nightclubs went, well, we'll just sell a pizza then.
Yeah, and we'll just get
it was just
a bit
fucking
starch.
Ridiculous. Like, I went on a first date, and like all the places in Liverpool knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So they sat us down. We'd already been for our dinner. Like, I took her out for dinner, and we went to like another bar. And when we come in, they were like, "And what would you like your food to be?" And we're like, "Oh, whatever." And they went, yeah, no worries. We've ordered yet. And they're like, "Great, yeah." So they sat us down at a table, and 'cause of social distancing, there was like a table, then an empty one, then a table and an empty one. And on the empty table next to us, they just put a pizza. I'm like, we're just going to leave your pizza there. And we're like, yeah, sound. And then we could drink whatever we wanted. But we had to pay £12 for a pizza to go on a table next to us. Just because the law at the time was you couldn't sell people drink without giving them food as well. Because of the COVID rules. Which was
that crazy. When you think about a disease or a virus... Make that make sense that a pizza sat next to you is going to stop you getting COVID.
It was just such a good way of showing how misinformed and stupid the government's handling and their rules were COVID, where you can drink, but you've got to have something to eat with it. So restaurants went, well, okay, do they have to finish the meal? No, but they have to order it. There you go.
I mean, crazy, we could,
just
we
added £12 onto every meal.
Yeah, every drink.
Yeah.
I mean, that's boosting the economy a little bit. So, you know, I guess that's a plus for it.
Yeah, but it's just a small dint on what there was wasting, isn't
it?
But, mate, we could sit here and go deep into this, couldn't we? And fucking hell, we'd be here all day. But, yeah.
Sushi, though. Sushi. Have you ever been to one of them? Because I, like I say, the only kind of sushi I'd ever really had was like a meal deal sushi. Yeah. I'd never really been to a sushi restaurant. But have you ever been to one of them ones where they've got it on the fucking...
On the conveyor belt.
The conveyor belt.
Don't most of them do that? Is that that's a sushi thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. But so I haven't been to one of them because when I found out what sushi was, I was like, no,
I'm not having it.
And then I went to Dubai and I was out there with another comedian and the venue put us up in like this unbelievable hotel and the buffet was included.
Oh, right.
But like it was a buffet where it's like... You order whatever you want.
Yeah. And it
like it's not like they've already made it and it's all sat there. So Rich, the guy, goes, oh, you do sushi? And he got a bit of it. And I just got, I think, a soup at first. Like, there was a bowl of soup. And I was like, I'm just going to have a bit of this on the other side.
Yeah.
And he went, this sushi is unbelievable. And I was like, oh, I don't like sushi. He was like, you ever tried it? And I was like, no. And he goes, try this. Because if you don't like this, you don't like sushi.
Okay.
So I went, okay, I'll have some. So this unbelievable place in Dubai, they're doing the best food in the world. And I ordered the sushi. And it knocked me sick. It was the sushimi, it was the raw salmon.
Yeah.
Fucking cook it. I love salmon. Cook the fucking salmon. Fish.
So do you not even like, what is it like, is it smoked salmon?
Yeah,
like,
I was about to say, you know, in the salmon pack, you get in a bagel, you put them in a bagel, like cream cheese bagel,
no,
a bit of smoked salmon.
No.
Fuck it. It's raw.
Mate, it's banging though.
It's horrific.
No, it's good.
It tastes exactly like it looks. Salmon. It tastes wet. and not in a good way. It's just slimy. What are you talking about? It's not nice.
The smoked one you get just in a pack from Aldi. Yeah,
bollocks.
It's banging.
Oh, yeah, bollocks.
It is banging.
So cook it, like
sushi.
Put it in the oven.
You probably would.
No, I've never tried it. Always
you will like it. That is sushi. Raw salmon is sushi.
Yeah.
But there's loads of different.
Yeah, you can get like tuna, you can get like prawn, you can get like.
See, I can eat tuna.
You can even get sushi.
Do you know if someone opens tuna within like a mile radius of me, I. Honestly,
oh,
want
really?
Them slaughtered.
Do you not like tuna?
If someone gets a tuna mayo butty out on a train, I will call the police. Like, it's disgusting. It smells horrible. I can't.
I like seafood. I've just sat and said that I don't like it, but
I like
seafood.
You're not a tuna fan, though.
I love
tuna. The being in the same. If someone opened a tin of tuna in here right now, I'm not messing. I'd get off and I wouldn't finish the
tuna. Because I thought tuna's like entry level. Like, do you know what I mean? Like fish and chips in it. Tuna's not real. It is seafood, but it's not really seafood.
Oh, the smell of it I can't.
Oh,
like,
wow.
We did a food challenge with our podcast, and we were eating the most ridiculous things in the world. A century egg, which is like a 100-year-old Chinese egg, at that, I was like, okay. The main challenge they gave me was eating tuna. Couldn't do it.
Just like out of a can or...
If I said to what, you put a price on you finishing a can of tuna. Put a real price on it.
Are you gagging now?
I can't, it's the sauce.
Like if I'm offering you £500,000 in a duffel bag.
You'd have to be, it'd have to be like that. It'd have to change my life.
Wow.
You'd do it for £500,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like there's not much, like, I'd suck both of you off and rim him for £500,000. Like,
have you got that kind of...
that's handy because apparently my dick tastes like tuna, so two in one.
Have you ever been to Japan? That's where it originated from, right? Sushi?
Yeah, Japanese.
I've never been. My mate lived there for a year. He was teaching English as a foreign language out there, and he loved it. Favourite place in the world, but no, I haven't been yet.
I'd love to go, and Charlotte's the same, but... I think the only thing that would put Charlotte off is the food. Because I'm one of them that I will try other like you said, you went to Brussels and you tried the local food.
Charlotte's very, very kind of thing. Because we went to Milan, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we did a trip to Milan with our wives. And
she'd eat McDonald's every day.
Yeah, like with Milan, like, you know, pizza and pasta, really good food. Yeah. And Charlotte was like, oh, there's a McDonald's there.
We went to Thailand for 3 weeks and she ate KFC most days. That's like, insane. It's ridiculous. But like she's slowly getting there. Like now she's like I've sort of forced it into a bit where I'm saying you can't just say you don't like something like you do with sushi if you haven't tried it. Like give it a go. And she's trying stuff.
My missus doesn't like a lot of stuff, but she will try anything.
Yeah.
I'm specifically talking about food.
Have you tried artichokes? The so it's like a roasted vegetable in Italy mainly.
No.
I tried that for the first time the other day, and the bloke was like. He said, I will make you the most special artichoke you will ever eat. He was in this gorgeous restaurant, one of those where you go and you select what meat you want. They've hunted it themselves. It's all on the front. You say, I'll have that and how much. And he said, I'll make you the best artichoke you will ever have. It's special. We make it in this way. And I was like, right, wicked, okay. He put it down in front of me and watched me to like gauge my reaction. And it tasted like shit. And I had to sort of go... yeah, great.
That's bang out of order on his part, that.
Yeah, it's watching me. But yeah. I said to him, like, oh, I'm going to save that for my main meal so I can, like, just... But the reason, main reason I saved it
what
so I can ram
mean,
it
try
in.
Try something for?
Yeah.
Does like when your mate tries to show me a video?
What do you mean?
Like, you know when your mate's the hardest video, it's dead funny, I'm like, text me, I'll watch it in a bit when I haven't got the pressure of having to find the funny in front of
like
you.
Like when someone shows you a photo with a kid and it's not that cute and you've got to go, oh, that's... cute, isn't
do you know
it?
What I've started doing with stuff like that? Just going really over the top the other way.
What's going on? Oh,
Jesus Christ, who's is that? Oh, yours. She's
that's
lovely.
Not yours.
She's lovely.
Is there any like what's your favourite, like the nicest meal you've ever had? Would that be like the one you had at the kitchen in
Yeah, but that's hard to sort of, I can't even remember what I had. It was just like 11 different things that he'd made. And like, I love Italian, but I think I eat Chinese the most because it's easy to just order it.
Yeah.
But Italian, done well.
Yeah.
Like a good bolognese or a good carbonara.
Yeah. We've just been there for the food alone, really. Yeah. Like, we just, like, every place you go into, you can go into what looks like the dingiest restaurant in Rome and it will piss all over any Italian that's in the UK. But they've just done something right, haven't they? The Italians were
They have. I like meat as well. Mm. Like I'm a big believer that a lot of people are meant to be vegan and veggie. Like there's an argument like, oh, we're supposed to be veggie and that's why I all this and whatever. I think some people are meant to be. I'm not.
No.
Like I'm meant to eat meat. Yeah, like I've had an ex-girlfriend who tried to go vegan for a bit, but she couldn't stop eating chocolate. and then twice a week I would cook for us and I'd make it vegan.
Yeah,
and I'd eat it and I'd enjoy it, but I'd get to the end of it and I'd be starving.
I'm the same because try and do it every now and again. I've got two kids, so I'm like, oh, let's, you know, introduce a bit of this. And some of it's banging.
Yeah,
like some of it's dead nice. Don't know if you've ever had them. They look horrible. The vegan roasts.
Yeah.
So it's like it comes in like a tube, like black pudding or like the shit that you give your dogs, the chub rolls. And you kind of cook it for an hour and a half like a roast chicken. Oh my God, it is the nicest, most succulent roast chicken you'll ever eat. It's so nice. Like my little girl prefers that now to like normal roast chicken. But I'm the same as you. I'll eat that on a roast. I'll have all my roast potatoes and all that. gravy, everything, and I'll eat it and I'll go, nah, I could do with something else. Do you know what I mean? It's like that feeling, isn't it, when you eat something, you go, oh, I could do with something sweet.
What gravy?
It's just there, you're like, oh, I could do with, I need
what
a bit of...
What gravy do you put on this vegan dinner?
I'd normally do like a veggie stock one if
you make
if I was doing
gravy,
it properly.
Yeah.
I'd normally make
you
my own
made
gravy.
Me some gravy.
Yeah,
I remember actually. Yeah,
yeah. I'm not a fan. I mean,
I'll
have
cooking.
A bit of granules.
It's
do you love
like,
cooking?
Yeah,
yeah.
But I'm shit at doing the dishes.
If I
cook, my dishes are just a mess for the week.
Yeah, yeah. I'm one of them. I use every pan.
Yeah.
If I'm doing something simple, like a bit of pasta or something.
Like you put, I do that.
No, I can't do that. I mean, that's
psychopath behaviour. That the
fact
that you can have the mental capacity to clean something whilst you use it.
But mate, you've got so much extra spare time when things are cooking. But like when Charlotte makes a Sunday dinner, it's like she's gone into the kitchen with an AK-47 and just opened fire at everything.
Sometimes I just look at the ceiling after there's fucking gravy and stuff to burn.
Fucking roast potatoes on the roof. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if you keep on top of it, and then it's easier when you're done.
But I find, like, with shit, like you say, with stuff like that, if you're making a roast, like, you're not... There's always something to be keeping your eye on, isn't there? Because are you going to overboil that, or that's going to be in too long. So if you then start throwing in, like, fucking washing a pan down in the mix, I'm one of them. Yeah. Save it till the end.
You've got a dishwasher, don't you?
I have, yeah.
You got a dishwasher.
She doesn't like being called that. I've actually, do you know the most Tory thing about me? I've got a cleaner. She comes once a week.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
But that's
so, I just make me flatter to her, and then she comes
and cleans it up
while I'm doing our podcast, and then when I go back, it looks
it's
like
nice.
A
nice.
And what? How much do you pay your cleaner? Is it like, it's only like 20, 30 quid a month or something?
I think, I can't remember. Like,
I'm assuming it's a lady. I've just said she's.
Yeah, I think she gets like 60 quid for and it takes like 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
just like, give me 60 quid, I'll do what I can, and then I'm off.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
but that makes it easy because when I'm not working, I keep on top of the house. Like, I keep on top of things. But like, I had a spring clean a couple of weeks ago. It took me like 4 or 5 hours. And I didn't even do like the top cupboards, I only did the bottom ones. Mm. But I got like most of it done. But I'm thinking, if you can get someone to come and do it for like 30 quid, like that's so much easier. I can go play golf.
I'm so bad for like, if I can not do something and I can get it done by someone else for a reasonable price,
yeah,
I will pay for it.
Yeah.
I'm just lazy naturally.
Yeah, yeah.
It gives me the time to be creative and, you know, edit a stand up clip and write a bit and scroll on my phone and just be
like,
I'm just. I'm a master procrastinator.
And it's good stuff like that because, like you say, again, it's helping someone else out. You know what I mean? It's giving that cleaner like more work. Which,
yeah,
you're
generating
more. You know.
Yeah, it's a good way of looking at it, I guess, isn't it? For being a lazy bastard. Yeah. But I reckon that's about it, mate. I reckon we've pretty much
covered. How long have we been going for, eh, Jay?
Yeah.
Oh, sound,
yeah.
Got a date. Mate, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks very much, fellas.
It's been fucking funny anyway, put it that way.
Yeah, mate, really enjoyed the buzzing for coming
nice
on.
Thanks, mate. Cheers, Adam.
Thanks very much. I've got a couple of stand-up specials on
YouTube.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, we said actually. Yeah, definitely.
Juicy went out recently. That's probably the best work I've ever done.
And where is that?
It's on the Have A Word podcast YouTube channel. So if you go to youtube.com/haveawordpod, there's two specials there, Juicy and Imperious. And then me tour. By the time this goes out, the tour will be on sale.
Yeah, he was telling us that you're doing the O2 Academy just across
the
road.
The O2 Apollo in Manchester, the Empire in Liverpool, but there's like 62 dates. I'm going all around the UK.
Yeah,
so wherever you are, like, I think we're adding Grimsby as well, but we're definitely doing Hull and Leeds and York and Sheffield and Newcastle and Glasgow. Like,
you were telling me because we were talking about like the arena in Liverpool, weren't we? This is all just before we came on, and you said that you really, really wanted to play the Empire because it was one of them.
Yeah, it's like we're probably in a position now where if I'd have booked the arena in Liverpool, we probably could have sold it out.
Mm-hmm.
The Empire is like a quarter of the size, so we're going to do, I think, two shows there instead.
Yeah.
Maybe like we'll see if we need to add any more than that.
Yeah.
But I don't want to skip the Empire. Like, I haven't played it yet at all. I haven't even supported someone there. Like, the Apollo in Manchester, I've done a couple of times supporting, like, other comics.
Yeah.
Never headlined it myself. The Empire, I've never stepped foot on stage in. It's the first place I ever seen
comedy. I was
going
to say, is that someone that you went as a kid and, like, is that...
I seen Ross Noble there. He was
the
first comedian I ever saw. I seen Ross Noble, and then I seen John Bishop there.
Yeah.
And I think I've seen someone else there as well. But I've seen Kevin Bridges there as well.
Yeah.
But I've never been on that stage, and it's the nicest room in Liverpool.
Yeah.
So
like,
we're gonna
fair play to you for doing that, because like most people would go right arenas. Like we want to be doing arenas, but like for you and like you said, for something that you've wanted since you was younger to go and make
it's
that
just
a
part.
Thing,
it's
you know
it,
I mean?
Like,
did you want to record it as a special there as well?
Yeah. So we're gonna tape the special there and just like we've recorded my last big special in the Philharmonic Hall in Liverpool, which was great. But the Empire is such a nicer room for comedy
yeah.
and more aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
It's just going to look incredible. That's where Imperius was filmed, the Philharmonic, and then Juicy was filmed in Glasgow.
Yeah.
Juicy's a much smaller room because of the style of story. It's a totally different...
Well, that's... We was talking to Lloyd, who you know... Lloyd, is, I've been on a previous
episode. I thought
you
was...
yeah, you're not Lloyd.
yeah. Sorry, you were saying off camera yeah. you get recognised.
Yeah, but you do as well, so you're pretty much the same person.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
What was I saying?
You were talking to Lloyd.
Oh, yeah, he was talking to Lloyd about whether he wants to go on and do arenas and stuff like that. And he's played, like, the O2 and, like, the MEN and things like that, and he loves all that. But then he said, like, these smaller venues, they're just more intimate, and because you do a lot of... crowd interaction as well, don't you, on your stand-up yeah. and stuff. So, like, if you're doing that in an arena, it just doesn't just have the same...
Yeah, when I do the smaller venues, I do crowd work, but if I'm doing a big room, just go and fucking do the show.
Just do the routine.
Do you know what I mean? I just, yeah. like,
you have
do
to write
hour.
It differently, don't you, for where
yeah.
you're going,
it depends on the room.
What do you prefer doing? Do you like... Because I know, like, because I've seen Paul Smith, who's obviously a friend of yours. He's, like, the way he is with the crowd is, like, he came to Grimsby and his crowds, the way he was on people was fucking brilliant.
He's the best at doing crowd work in a big room.
Yeah.
Him and Andrew Schultz, the New York comic, they can do crowd work in a big room. It's very difficult to do that.
Yeah.
There's not many people who can come close to those two. I've never considered myself like an amazing crowd work comic. Like, I can deal with heckles and stuff.
Mm.
And if someone's a dick, like, I'm good at quite, you know, putting them down and getting them kicked out and doing it in a funny way. Yeah. I like to think so anyway.
Have you had that a lot? People just being dickheads, getting them out?
People just get drunk.
Yeah.
Like, even big fans of yours can come along and be a dick.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like if
they want to try and outdo you, don't they? They want to try and go, oh, if I can make him laugh.
You know, or just showing off in front of their mates. And
it's a combination of those two things. And other times, do you know the worst person to have in an audience is someone who wants to let you know that they're your biggest fan?
Yeah.
Like, when we first started doing, because obviously our podcast started just before COVID and then sort of blew up throughout COVID. When we first came out of that and started doing shows for the first time with this, like, bigger fan base, people were coming to shows and in the middle of a setup to a joke, shouting podcast references. You know, like, running jokes from the podcast?
Yeah.
They just shout. And what they're trying to do, because they're drunk, they're 8 pints in.
Yeah.
And they're just like, they're sat there watching it going, I love this guy. And he doesn't realise that I'm his biggest fan here. How can I let him know that I love his thing?
Yeah.
What do they say on the podcast all the time? Wag, wag! And you're like, lad, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You just ruined a 5 minute setup
to
a punchline. Like,
shut up. I guess, like, it's trying to disassociate from, because obviously when you guys are doing the podcast, you're just in the moment and it's just like this. It's you're just chatting. Yeah. So everything's just coming to mind and things like that coming to mind. I guess a lot of people don't realise the work.
Yeah.
Because they just go, oh, Adam Rowe, he's a funny bloke. And you are a naturally funny bloke. You could just stand there and make people laugh. But he's not realised, oh, actually, you've probably sunk hours and hours behind your laptop, scribbling notes to write, craft these jokes. He just thinks, oh, he's coming up with this now like he does on the podcast. Yeah. If I shout this, he'll start talking about that.
Yeah, it just, like, we had to have a full section on an episode of our show going, if you're going to come to a show,
don't do
it. Talk to us afterwards, we'll take pictures with you, we'll have a conversation. We're absolutely made up that you're coming to see us. Shut up.
But just leave that bit,
You're not, like, you're trying to be our favourite person in the room and you're becoming our least favourite person in the room by doing what you're doing.
Yeah, it's a shame that people get like that, but I guess they're just, like you said,
they're drunk and, like, I find it difficult to go too hard on them, like, sat here and go, oh, they're fucking stupid cunts. Like, I can't do that because if I wasn't a comedian, I might beat that guy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, when I'm at a comedy club and, like, there's a stag doing and they get kicked out because they're talking, because they're all on fucking Charlie and drunk and whatever, part of me is like, that might be me and my mates if I wasn't educated on what it's like
on the
in a comedy
club. If there's 12 people on a stag doing, they go to a comedy club, two of them wanted to go and see comedy.
Yeah,
the other 10
want
to get twatted for Jono's stag do. They don't care where they are. They're not asked about listening to me. They just want to have their night out because they've got two kids and they've had an argument with the wife and being like, I'm fucking going. Now it's his fucking stag do. You're not fam. You can look after the kids for once. I fuck off. And he's gone to another city for the weekend.
He
just wants to take advantage of getting absolutely mashed, knowing he's as far away from his wife as possible and can't be told off for any. He just wants to get rotten drunk And then the fucking best man's gone, oh, you got to come and listen to some twat you've never heard of for 20 minutes. Like, he doesn't give a shit about me. Why would he? Like, yeah. His life's harder than mine. Yeah, yeah. And I'm there like a fucking school teacher going, can you shut up, please? I've got a well-crafted joke. He's like, I'm not arsed, mate. This is my only weekend away all year. I do get it. But, like, do us a favour. If you're going on a stag, do just don't go.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Yeah. Well, when, so when does the tour start?
October, officially. So,
yeah.
I'm going to go to the Edinburgh Festival again this year, which I swore I'd never do again, but yeah. I'm going
to
do the full run.
Been there. I've never
I loved it when I went.
It's just a long hard month as a comedian, yeah. The way I've done it in the past, but this year should be a bit softer on me. But I'm going to go there and get the show ready to go on tour while I'm there, so do like a work in progress run.
Yeah.
September, I've got some European dates that aren't announced yet, but they'll go out soon. And then the UK tour starts on the 5th of October, I think in Carlisle. Nice. Well, adamrowe.co.uk/shows or just adamrowe.co.uk.
Yeah.
They'll all be there by the time this goes on.
You nice one, man. And if you are playing near us as well, like I'm happy to come along. Tomo needs a fucking wristband. He's not coming unless he's sat in the green room with you before that.
Yeah, you can.
I'll just come along and stand in the crowd.
I'll let you know when I'm in Manchester and Grimsby or Holland. Yeah, come down. We'll have a bevy in there.
Oh, yeah, nice one. Cheers, mate. Appreciate it.
Cheers, boys.
Thank you.
Another episode down.
Done and dusted.
Another lovely chat.
Another week out of the way.
Hope you're all having a fantastic week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, another lovely chat. And just nice to be doing the podcast, doing what we love doing, man.
Yeah, it's nice to be together and it's nice to have it all sort of done professionally and comfortably. And yeah, and I think it's really showing with the guests that we're getting on at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, the more that we can keep doing this, the more that we can provide for you listeners at home, the viewers that are watching on YouTube. There is a way that you can support us, if Andy would like to tell.
I will. You can support us in many ways. One of the main ways being we do have a Patreon account. If you can go on there, it's www.patreon.com/overrateeverything. That just helps us to secure guests. You know, we want to be getting bigger and better guests from London and places like that down to the studio. Obviously, that costs money. And for a small fee each month, you guys can contribute towards that. And you'll get rewarded as well. What kind of rewards will you get, Thomas Turgoose?
Well, it depends how much they're willing to spend. we've got so much in store, haven't we? We've got like... We've got the lives coming up.
We've got lives,
I know,
which
we've promised over the
exciting.
Years. Yeah, man. Yeah, I can't wait for all that. We've just got sort of behind the scenes exclusive footage that we're doing, and
got some bonus podcasts as well.
Some bonus podcasts with ourselves and with some guests.
Some of the guests.
Yeah, just sort of. But I guess as the more it goes on, we'll just the more surprises that we'll drop.
We want to have fun with it. We're creative people. We want to have fun. We want to be creative. We want to make some nice content for you guys.
Yes.
And keep that Patreon going over. But obviously, we ain't no fools. We know times can be hard for everyone. Mm. And so if you can't subscribe to Patreon, that's fine. That's cool. Yeah. What you can do, if you love the podcast, is like, subscribe, share, tell a mate as well.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's used to just going share. Like, actually sit in the pub or wherever you're meeting with your mates and socialise in the gym. Yeah. And just go, hey, have you heard that podcast? It's pretty good, you know. Yeah, get it on Spotify. Bam.
Play it really loudly when you're at a red light with the windows open.
Play it really loudly at red lights. Overrate Everything, the best podcast to play really loudly at red lights.
There you go.
If that's illegal, we're going to get sued.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.